This recording, South Dakota 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, and this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, and Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I have a sister that lives on the farm acreage where we grew up, and I have a son and a daughter. They both live in the Sioux Falls area, and they have each a daughter, so we get to see our grandkids a lot of the time. I have a husband, and we've been married for 38 and a half years and have lived in the same house. This was when I was a kid and on my dad's side of the family, and my grandma would always meet us at the door for the Christmas supper with a tray full of little glasses, like communion glasses, and it would be filled with Christmas cheer. And the Christmas cheer was purple grape juice. And I remember wrinkling up my nose as I drank it. And then after the big potluck Christmas supper, we would open gifts. But before the gift opening, my grandpa would read the Christmas story from the Bible, and how I miss those days. I don't know much about, except that in the family history, it's a great big huge book that my mom's relatives had put together, and he was an outlaw that came from England over on the Mayflower, and he hid it, or was a stowaway on it, and that's all I remember reading about him. In the same book, there is a picture of my great-great-grandmother, who was three-quarter Sioux, and my mom looked a lot like the coloring of a Sioux Indian, had kind of the nose of a Sioux Indian, and that's really about all I know. And I'd like to tell one more interesting fact about my grandfather, how they came from Gentry, Arkansas, up here to South Dakota. My grandpa ran for sheriff of the county, and the bet between him and the other guy was that whichever one lost would move out of the state. My grandpa lost, and so they moved to South Dakota.